Hello, Royals fans, and welcome once again to the podcast Inside Athletics. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics here at EMU, joined once again by our Sports Information Director, James DeBoer. And the first thing I will offer is to all of you who have your brackets busted, tough luck. No $1 billion for you. And if you had won the $1 billion, I'd ask for at least a portion of it for EMU Athletics.
So, just a little portion.
So for those of you that are sitting there moping around, I'm sorry. Hopefully you'll still win your office pool or something. Which reminds me also of the fact that betting on sports sponsored by the NCAA is not allowed by any current NCAA athletes. What do you think of that, James?
That's for sure. Well, that's why I don't have a – I've asked you in the past about having a bracket sponsored by the Sports Information Office, and we decided – I can't remember if I did one or not. We just decided not to, just to you know, keep the image good.
Make sure we've got everything in line. I think the essence of the policy or the rule – would be it? There can be no money involved,
right.
So either an entry fee or a winning, even to the extent
even a bag of M&Ms.
Technically, you know, you can't have the bag of M&Ms. The one that usually is, you know, loser's got to take or winner gets taken out to dinner.
Yeah.
So anyway, we try to at least caution our student athletes that that is a rule. And actually, if you look at some of the statistics, you'll find that there are more incidences of betting on sports among student athletes at Division III than Division I. Huh. I'm not quite sure why that is, but anyway, maybe they preach it harder at Division I and maybe have more to lose, like a scholarship, et cetera. So I doubt if the NCAA police dogs are out there checking to see who's involved in office pools, but you're right. We don't have anything going on within our own office anyway. Well, that's certainly the topic of conversation by just about everybody, unless it's Phil Jackson coming to the Knicks, I'm not sure. So whatever water cooler talk there is going on in your office, my guess is that it's probably the brackets and the Final Four and all of that, which I would like to – and it does bring to mind the whole idea that the student-athletes at Division I levels are becoming more and more concerned about the fact that they are being used by institutions. And when you see the number of dollars that are generated by the tournament, you do begin to understand a little bit about where they're coming from that standpoint. As some of you are aware, some of the student-athletes at Northwestern University, I believe, are trying to form a union and somehow get a players' union together, much as there would be at the professional ranks as well, asking for a little bit more pay in terms of that. We're not going to hear to discuss that necessarily, but I thought about it the other day when I read an article about how much money is made off of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Number two, the loss of productivity that occurs in businesses during
the general workplace.
Yeah. In the general workplace. I think it was close to $1 billion as well.
Yeah. Wow.
And the increased number of vasectomies that are done prior to or right around this time. Which
as
statistically has been proven.
Wow. That's crazy.
So that they can sit around and watch basketball the whole time. So that's documented. I didn't just make that one up. So anyway, the whole talk certainly is around basketball. We're finished with that. We're ready to move on. But hopefully you do enjoy the basketball tournament if you're into that at that particular point. We focus our attention. We like to watch it as well. But we focus our attention on what's happening here. And spring has finally arrived, both figuratively and, I guess, realistically, if you want to say it that way. It's here. I think is today the first day or this week sometime
was
the first
Thursday
time of spring.
I
don't
Thursday.
Know.
Who knows?
Whenever.
It's hard to know when I've still got snow piles next to my driveway.
Well, exactly. So. We started the week in Harrisonburg with 10 inches of snow at my house.
And
supposed to play ball games. Interestingly enough, it didn't warm up right away, but by Thursday, we were at least able to play baseball up at Shenandoah, and we were able to get on the turf field for the other practices. We do have tarp for our baseball and softball, so that protects that a little bit more. But I must say it's been hard to see that this is actually baseball, softball weather or season, and then you turn around and look at it, and we're not that far away from final exams, and something doesn't quite compute in here. So ended up playing softball in the snow on this past week.
And it was pretty interesting. I had enough work studies to cover everything going on, and I figured, hey, I got a camera here. I better go take some pictures. We got softball with snowflakes. It was a very interesting picture. And a couple points I looked out, and all of the fielders would have their throwing hand in a pocket until the pitcher got ready to release the ball. Then it was almost like it was uniform practice movement, which I know it wasn't, but right. It was like synchronized hand warming in and out of their pockets. And
then we also had many of the batters needing to call for timeout because it was snowing almost right sideways for a point, or at least it was coming in that direction from what I'd call the northeast, and it was headed right into the batter's eyes. And many times they were calling timeout because they got snowflakes in there. So the masks they wear don't actually catch that. Right. So I don't know if it's goggles or what they have to wear. So that was an interesting one anyway.
Yes, sure was.
So it's hard to get a rhythm to figure out where we're going. The baseball and softball teams start. They go down south and they play some games. Then we come back up here. It's just, what does it, from your perspective, I know you're not a player at this point. You follow it, though. What does the lack of rhythm do to sports teams?
It's just really tough for them. I mean, because every sport you talk about, the rhythm or just the flow of the season, or that is, it's just very important. And I think everyone just kind of still has a feel like they're in the quote spring training, as they're just not getting to play a lot of games. So for our softball team, they play Sunday. They have games postponed and they don't play again until the following Saturday, where normally they'd play every 3 days or something. And half those days they were working out inside, not even out on the field. So I think it's just a tremendous adjustment. I guess on one hand, it's nice because everybody has to adjust. You know, maybe some of the outlying schools didn't get quite as much snow, you know, Virginia Wesleyan or something, but Shenandoah got snow, we got snow, WNL got snow. It's like everybody was getting snow. But, yeah, it really messes up the patterns. And, I mean, coaches work hard to have their teams peak at the right time, which is, you know, right heading into the postseason. And they game plan for some of it. I guess you'd call it season planning. But, you know, they figure out a flow to the season, how hard they work practices, all those things. And just so much gets messed up with that. You look at a sport like baseball where we don't have a deep pitching staff the way it is. And I think we already knew that some of our weekday games we might struggle on a little bit because we don't have that deep pitching staff. Well, now we get all these games postponed, and we had the same thing last weekend and this weekend where a game gets postponed, shoved really close to the weekend. It just starts to wreak havoc on what you can and cannot do with your pitching staff.
That does make a huge difference. I was going to mention that not only do you get out of rhythm, but then you get out of the sequence of rest in between, and particularly from a pitching staff. And you're right. I think it's obvious that you know, our baseball team needs to strengthen the pitching a little bit, and the recruiting class is coming up, but it doesn't give much of a rhythmic flow to it. Track and field can be the same way, because one time they're outside and then the snow melts, but it's still too wet, so they're back inside again. We've been trying to work at a new throwing cage, which has been approved, and we're ready to go with it, but we can't get into the fields to work at it. So things just don't feel like they've got a good flow to them at all. No. And it's typical, because you start the fall season and it's still sort of summertime and you move right on through and slowly get that. Here, it's a little bit harder breaking out of winter and coming into the springtime and the warmth. But anyway, so what's been the results recently, or what's upcoming in some of our baseball and softball? Like we said, in baseball, struggling a little bit with the pitching, and they've come up against Shenandoah a couple of times, but we don't need a deep recap of everything, because I'm not even sure if you can remember exactly when we had games.
We've only had a couple of games in the last 5 days, so okay. It's a pretty quick one. But baseball is at home this weekend, playing Hampton, Sydney, and I guess for the Royals, every conference game is important, but some of these games against the other middle-of-the-pack teams in the conference are the key ones. And so we're really excited for this one coming up this weekend, hosting Hampton, Sydney. Should be great weather.
70 degrees.
I'm sure it might be a little breezy, but, hey, it's springtime. And 70 degrees with a breeze is a lot better than 50 degrees with a breeze, or 35 degrees with a breeze like it was Sunday. But Saturday should be a great day for baseball, and excited to see the guys get out there and try to snap their little losing skid right now. They've had some really tough competition. It's hard to play teams like Shenandoah when you just don't have the deep pitching staff. So we saw that a bit this past week. Softball hasn't played since beating Mary Baldwin twice on Sunday. And even with that one, it was hard. They swept Mary Baldwin, but they gave up a number of runs in the last game. And it's kind of hard to get a gauge on that one because it was so cold. I think the pitcher started to struggle gripping the ball, and there's just a lot of things that could go wrong in that one. So it was nice to come out with the wins, but they're coming up with a really tough stretch this weekend. They go to Guilford Saturday and Lynchburg on Sunday. Lynchburg is always very good, and Guilford has been one of the hot teams in the conference right now. In the national polls, they've just started receiving votes, and so they are well regarded as one of the top teams in the conference. Guilford is. So it's going to be a tough weekend for our softball team, and of course they're still struggling with that no flow yet as well, but we'll see how they do this weekend. Men's volleyball has been quite exciting, actually. We're not sure quite what happened, but they hit the road a couple weeks ago for spring break, had a really disappointing loss at Marymount to start the break, and then just flipped a switch, and they haven't lost since. So they've now won 6 matches in a row, which, as far as I can tell from my record books, ties a program record. And just very impressive to see them doing that. And tonight, Friday night, we would love to see them break the program record for 7 wins in a row. It's going to be a big effort tonight as they take on the number one team in the nation, Juniata College. That would be a really interesting matchup tonight. Again, the volleyball team, another one of these teams that doesn't have a huge bench. And they've had an injury to Scott Brigham, which has hurt them throughout the year. I think they're hoping to see Scott play this weekend.
Scott will be playing this weekend. Right. At least on
as long
at least
as nothing
the first
tightens
round.
Up at the last second, right?
At least the first round with Juniata, yes.
So they've been trying to save him for these key conference games, and so it should be fun to see what happens tonight with Juniata. And then tomorrow they get Teal, another very important conference game Saturday afternoon. So a couple of home games there for men's volleyball this weekend. If you're in the area, check those out, and you can catch baseball outside at the same time.
And it will be interesting to see what happens. I did read online the other day that the longtime coach at Juniata, Kevin Moore, is not there anymore.
Correct.
Just recently, within the last week or two, and so
yep.
I don't know what that does to it, but it'd be interesting to see what happens.
They've played one or two matches without him, but yeah, he's moved on for other coaching opportunities, and so they're down to an interim coach, and I've hoped that is in our favor. We never wish ill will on anybody, but
right?
For someone looking for a win, I hope that provides a little in for us.
Well, I was going to mention the men's volleyball. If you're listening from the Lancaster, Pennsylvania area, hopefully you got the invitation that they played at Lancaster Bible College this week, and really, really appreciate the 40 or 50 people that showed up out there, both prospective students as well as alumni, just to support the Royals and also interact with Karen Mosier-Shank from the development office and Doug Nice, who was an alumni director up there. And that's something that we're going to continue to do. We're already looking at next year's schedule, and we're going to try to find pockets of Richmond and Newport News, Roanoke. It doesn't always just have to be in what we would typically call the Mennonite-populated areas, because we don't get into those all that often, that we have alumni all over the Virginia area. So when we go to Lynchburg, hopefully we'll have a little something there and try to encourage people to come. So for those of you that are listening that our alumni or follow the Royals in any way, you don't have to be an alumnus, but we're going to try to get the word out about those in the coming year, because we'd like to continue to make contact with many of our alumni who have been coming from, who came from Virginia and settled in Virginia. So thanks to you, those of you that have come out. And I think we make a point about the track and field. We saw on the list that there's 2 meets listed, so let's explain to people what that might mean.
So the outdoor track season kicks off this weekend. And they are at 2 places at once. It's not magic. It's just a big team. And
they aren't. Some of them are.
Well, sure. And so we can send some athletes some places and some others. So the WNL Washington and Lee Carnival is the big event this weekend. It's Friday and Saturday. And that's where the majority of the team is going. Then there's a meet hosted by Roanoke. And basically we'll be sending the throwers down there. And so that's why when you look at the schedule and you see the 2 meets, it's not a misprint. It's not craziness. It's not, let's do a meet here and drive over there for another run. It's different athletes going different places.
Well, and as we've said several times on the podcast, the track and field and cross country in particular, those are different. You're not competing against each other. You're really all gauging to get a time that will get you to the nationals and get prepared for the ODAC meet. So wherever the best competition is for you within that regard, I had a conversation with Jordan King, our high jumper that's won the ODAC recently, and he really, really really enjoys. He said he does better when there's a lot of competition and stiff competition, which is really surprising for somebody that just started the sport last year.
Yeah.
Sometimes those people would be a little intimidated by all these people who have been jumping for a long time, but he enjoys that. So they look at that and they say, okay, where's the best competition for that to be, whether it be the best competition that they can go up against or whether it be where they can do well. So, and to think really, you know, 3 years ago before when Jason Lukowicz, track and field coach, comes in, we didn't have enough to fill a van to go to one spot. And now he has a team at a point where he's got the ability to split them, whether it be from both the numbers of people that are here, the specialization of the sport they have, and the assistant coaching ranks. So just a phenomenal job that Coach Lukowicz has done and brought the competitive level there. And as we mentioned before, Jordan King just missed going. In fact, he lost the tiebreaker, to go to the indoor national championship. And he's looking right now to try to, I know their goal is to try to get the marks that are needed to qualify already, because they do take more people in each event at the outdoor than they do the indoor.
That's right.
So if Jordan jumps the same, he probably is in, but they want to secure that early on, so they'll match him up with meets that where he might be able to do well with that. So, thanks for that clarification. It is an understanding of where things are going. The other thing that's really happening here in the athletic department is simply the recruiting really is going full-fledged for the winter sports in particular. And I know that it's just a rhythm, a pattern that's there. It's interesting because you would think, well, you got to do the recruiting while they're playing, which is typically the case. But basketball, men's and women's basketball, when the season's over, that's when they really start hitting it. They try to go to some during the time, but they fortunately the high school lasts a little bit longer, and sometimes you can start getting to state playoff games, but then the AAU kicks in before too long and they're able to go to some of those. So I think there's five or six men's basketball recruits on campus this weekend. I know women have some coming in, so that's really aggressive. And here it is already middle of March, almost the end of March, and some of these teams have no commits yet, and that's just the style with which recruiting is happening. Some of these kids are not making their decisions until later. Now the financial aid packages are out, and they're working on some of that. So recruiting is extremely – there's just no science, and there's no real – there's a bit of a pattern to each squad and each team, but that's really been active. So we've got a lot of visitors on. Of course, we're still in the middle of the search for the women's soccer coach. Our goal is still the end of March, which we think we're certainly going to be able to get that. So hopefully we can make that announcement and have a conversation with the new coach there. So still plenty happening. We're getting ready for the awards banquet that comes up in April, because we're probably only 4 weeks away maybe from final exams and the end of school year. And so it has flown by. We'll do some reassessment of what is going on and what we're going to do different next year as well.
And golf is starting up this weekend as well. We got to get all the outdoor sports out there for the spring. So that's an interesting thing about golf, is they're kind of a two-season sport. They have a few in the fall. It's kind of an unofficial season. The spring is when they really do their deal. And so the men start a two-day event starting Sunday in Lynchburg. The women, two-day event starting Monday in Ashland. And their ODAC championships will be coming up very end of April, but they're kicking it up.
You think about baseball and softball in the snow. There's absolutely no way you think about golf when there's snow on the ground. So I forgot totally about that. Thanks for bringing that up. And yeah, a lot of times they do have that split. More and more are going almost full split, where there's almost six events in the fall and six events in the spring. We're still growing into that yet with the size of our team and the amount of travel that we are able to do. But we're excited about getting it started. We're excited about some of the recruits that we're starting to get interested in that as well. So, well, that's a quick rundown of what's been happening at EMU Athletics. Thanks for tuning in. And hopefully you continue to see success in your brackets as you go through. I'll look at mine, but no money's wagered. We're not wagering any money in between. Thanks for joining us. Join us again next week. And until we talk then, please make it a great week.